From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan. It's Thursday, March 13th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunatchi, Shawa, Tuxik Nusum, Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can now also watch a video live stream of the show by joining us at ktoo.org/JPMLive. Today, we talk with Reach about their infant learning program, an early intervention program for infants and toddlers. We learn about Tlingit and Haida's Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program, which assists low-income Alaska Native American Indian families with dependent children. Juno organization Family Promise is having their Taste of Promise fundraiser with food, beverages, and desserts from a variety of local restaurants. And tonight is the lunar eclipse. We chat with Dave Hansen from the Marie Drake Planetarium about the blood moon. Those conversations coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kehinak John Martin. And the word this week is Kaklahin.
Kaklahin.
That means slush or sleet. And here's a sentence. In the spring, sleet falls on us. Let's hear it again. Slush or sleet. Gunas Cheesh to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kehinuk John Martin was Dakdane Tan and a child of a Kagwantan man. He is from the Hunakawu, the people of Huna, and was a contributing elder and speaker at many language immersion gatherings in Glacier Bay, Yakutat, and Juneau. He attended boarding school in Shkakwe, Skagway, and attended Gonzaga University.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO, 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. We're also streaming now on YouTube and Facebook, so please join us. Reach Infant Learning Program partners with families to support healthy development of infant and toddlers. I'm joined now by Neve Dardis, Program Director for the Infant Learning Program, to give us an overview. Gunatchi Shaigudi, thank you so much for joining us. Neve Wasiati, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me, Boston.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. It's so wonderful to have you here to learn about this program. So let's just start first with, I think many people have heard of REACH as an organization. It's a very, right. It does a lot of things. But the Infant Learning Program is one aspect of that.
Correct, yeah. So we are one program under the umbrella of REACH. And we work, as you mentioned already, with birth up to age 3.
Okay.
And our hope sometimes is that, you know, we're doing such a great job with our early interventionists that children don't need further services beyond that. But certainly we do often have children and families that would receive services early on and then still have that need for continued support as they move through the lifetime with a diagnosed disability. And that's where you would receive services kind of from some of the other programs that are housed under the REACH umbrella.
Okay. And just for our knowledge, give us a little bit about your background. You mentioned that you've been at REACH for a long time before we went on air.
Yeah. So I've been at REACH for just over 13 years and I've been in Juno for about 16, which is hard to believe. but this has a way of suckering you in.
Yes, it does.
So my background is I have a bachelor's in social science with a focus in sociology, family studies. And I have worked with disability programs elsewhere in the state, in Anchorage, the Kenai Peninsula, that brought me to Juneau. And so my background is in the developmental disability field, working throughout the lifespan. And then in the last few years, I found myself kind of being very much drawn to that early intervention sphere and really seeing the importance and how impactful working with children and working with families in those first 3 years of life, and really how that can shape outcomes for the whole lifespan. And so really, really enjoying the spot that I'm in right now and the great team that I get to work with.
Okay, so let's dive in a little bit deeper. What exactly does the Infant Learning Program do?
Right. So we are a program, we're a part of a statewide network. So there are 15 programs in the state, and the Reach Infant Learning Program provides supports to families all throughout Northern Southeast. And so we're based in Juneau, but we also support the communities of Haines, Skagway, Clipwan, Yakutat, Gustavus, Wrangell, Petersburg, Tenneke, and Pelican.
Wow.
So we're pretty busy. So our entire team is a group of 10. That includes myself. I'm the program coordinator. And then we have a full-time like data technician, referral specialist as well. And along with that, then we have two full-time speech language pathologists, two occupational therapists, a music therapist, which we're the only program, ILP program in the state that has a music therapist. So we are very proud of that. A physical therapist, a developmental specialist, and we also have a licensed clinical social worker that specializes in perinatal mental health as part of our team too.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I had a chance to talk with somebody who was a music therapist. They were coming here to work with the symphony, I believe, and they did music therapy as their job. And I was like fascinated. I'd never heard of it before.
Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit about what music therapy is, since we're the only infant learning program that has it?
Sure. Yeah. So, and I am not the music therapist nor the expert in this, but from my experience with it and how it supports our families, is it really looks at the whole kind of child development. And so we can use like rhythm, sounds, movement to really help to like help children regulate their sensory systems, to incorporate speech through song, and really just kind of, it's a great way to support just the overall, the whole child development, be it like through gross motor, through like dance, the movement piece, and then like I said, just the singing of songs, melody, that can be really impactful to help just regulate and like soothe some kiddos that struggle with those kind of things.
That's awesome. I love that. That's really cool. What a cool little extra bit of, and the fact that it's, you know, only available here, which is kind of nice.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, can that person, do they go out to some of the communities as well? Are they able to travel?
Yes. Yeah. So all of our team, we really respond to the needs of families. We pride ourselves on kind of meeting families where they're at, being responsive to their unique needs that they may have for their children. And so all of our team, we travel regularly to Wrangell and Petersburg right now. We're on a monthly schedule. We travel to Haines monthly, Skagway we go quarterly, and then we have some other, the other communities that we serve. It really just kind of depends on the frequency of families that are currently enrolled. But yes, all of our team travel. Once we receive a referral, we don't have any wait list for our services. So we have 45 days, which includes holidays and weekends, to evaluate a child, assess their needs, and make a determination with the family whether they're going to enroll in our program. And so every evaluation, two specialties are involved in that. So you will always have like an occupational therapist and a speech therapist, or the music therapist and a developmental specialist. So just so that we can get that lens and that whole comprehensive look at what may be going on with a kiddo.
And how you brought up referral, which mm-hmm. is a question I have, is who is this program for and how do they get access?
Right. This program is for everybody. There's no criteria regarding like income limits or anything like that. What makes our program very special actually is that there's no financial cost, out-of-pocket cost to families. We do, if you have insurance through, you know, private insurance or Medicaid, we will seek your permission to bill out for some of our services, but mm-hmm. you will never have to pay a copay or any other out-of-pocket pocket. And if you don't have any insurance, there's no expense to the family. And so it's truly accessible and open to all families. A lot of our referrals, families can contact us directly themselves.
Okay.
The majority of referrals do come from pediatricians or local family doctors in the community. But we really can take referrals from anybody. We have grandparents that call us. We have childcare providers that will call us with parent permission and just give us a little bit of information, and then we will get in touch with the parent and see if they want to proceed with having us come and do a home visit and complete an evaluation and make a determination if our program would be a fit for supporting their needs.
Okay. And when do parents, is there any, I'm wondering if there's, statistics on this, like when they start to notice, something that might be an issue that would need a program like the Infant Learning Program. How do parents become aware? Where do they turn to? Obviously, they're going to have a pediatrician, but if there's things that they're noticing, do you have any guidelines for that? Or
we do. We have a lot of materials available in our program, and so I definitely would advise if anybody has any curiosities about developmental milestones, they could certainly check out our website. We have online screening tools available on our ILP website, or reach out directly to the program, and we can provide guidance. We see children oftentimes maybe if they're born prematurely. We will sometimes get automatic referrals from NICUs. And then oftentimes, though, it's usually when parents are going through those well child checkups at those monthly intervals that something may come up through that questioning with a physician. Oftentimes, parents are very instinctive. We look at parents and we look at parents as being the experts on their children. And so our advice is to anybody, if you've just kind of seen something, maybe you're at a play date at a friend's house and you're like, whoa, your baby's crawling and we just don't see that our kiddo is doing that yet, then absolutely pick up the phone, give us a call, check out our website, and we're more than happy just to ask some further questions and do an informal screening and then see if maybe we do need to move towards evaluation and seeing if supports would be appropriate.
And the website to get to the program is what?
We are at www.reachilp.org.
Reachilp.org. That's the website for that.
That is the website, yeah.
Okay. And it's so interesting because when you think about, having play dates and discovering things and when you can get access to that, and you always have questions because you're always worried, that something, might be amiss or something like that, and you want to take care of it right away.
Right.
So finding access to those services. And so I'm curious, let's go back to what you said about the fact that there's no cost. Like, obviously, if you have insurance, that's going to be helpful, but there's no cost for this. And Reach, I know, has a wide variety of programs, but how is it possible that you're able to offer these services for families that need it for no cost?
Right. So we are primarily funded by grants through the state of Alaska.
Okay.
And so about 80% of our program is funded through grants from the state funds, and then we also receive some federal grant money through Part C, through special education services, and then we make up then through some, we do some billing through Medicaid or private insurances for speech, OT, PT, if parents have those insurances and they gave us permission to bill out. So, and then we also receive periodic grants through the Mental Health Trust and other entities that we may apply for project specific things that we have going on.
Or awesome donors, perhaps.
Yes, we absolutely, anybody who has an interest in supporting our work, we gladly receive any donations that somebody might want to make to support our work in the community.
Yeah, I know. I'm just thinking of it because this week is KTOO's on-air membership drive. We are member-funded. We are member-owned, basically. And I'm just thinking, well, if somebody wants to, they could probably make a donation to Reach, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And they could denote that it's specific for early intervention if that was something that they felt so inclined to support. And, one thing I've noted is right now with our, ILP has been flat funded for about 11 years. And so we've got a lot of work right now going on behind the scenes just to see if we can get any movement in terms of recognizing the need for these services, the highly skilled people, the teams that work throughout the state to bolster us and make sure that we're able to continue doing the work that we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And how long can a young person be in the program? I know you said 0 to 3. Can they be in there that whole time in the program? And then that's, I want to answer that first. Let's answer that question. They can be in there till they're 3?
Till they're 3. So we serve them up until the 3rd birthday. But at about 33 months, what we do is we work with the family if they're interested in transitioning or if there's a need for the child to have continued support to transition them to special education services through the school district in the integrated preschool program, and also then to maybe connect the family with like outpatient therapy services through Bartlett or Search or other private providers.
That's what I was thinking, is what happens after 3?
Like, yeah.
Where do they go then?
Right? Yeah.
Because the problems don't stop necessarily.
Right. You know, we do all that we can. We have a lot of children that do age out and don't need continued support, which is great. That's always what we're striving for. But yes, for those families that need some continued intervention to support the child's development, we work with our community partners to try and find the right fit for the family and
Absolutely.
Make sure that there's no kind of falling off a cliff.
Yeah,
or falling through a crack. Yeah, we do our best with that.
What a wonderful program. It's the Reach Infant Learning Program. Neve Dardis is the director of the Infant Learning Program, and you can find out more information at reachilp.org. Is there anything that we missed today that we need to mention?
Gosh, I'm on the spot now.
I see you looking at your notes. So I'm like, did we get it all in? Did we make sure we got it?
I think we got the broad strokes. And I would just direct people just to give our organization a call. We're at 907-586-8228, or check out the website and encourage parents. If there's any kind of concern, no question is too small. There's no concern that's not valid. And we have a team of just highly qualified experts that are only happy to talk with them and alleviate any concerns that they may have, or offer supports if that's what's needed to, for the best interests of their kiddo moving forward.
Absolutely. And what was that phone number one more time?
It is 907-586-8228.
8228. 586-8228.
That's the Reach main line. Just call that and say, hey, like I need to talk to the Infant Learning Program. I have a concern, and they'll write you right through to our desk.
Get me right through to Neve. She was on Juno Afternoon.
That's
I
it.
Need to
that
talk
works
to her
too.
Right
yeah,
now.
Right now.
Kenneth Cheese for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Boston.
This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Kleni Di have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds, and to gatherings in other villages, and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life, for today and for future generations. Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can join us online, live, via YouTube and or Facebook. You can go to kto.org/JPM Live and join us on a live stream and see us in the studio here, which is kind of nice. And I am joined now by Dara Relatos from the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program. Gunath Sheesh. Dara, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having us
today. Awesome. Also, we have Shay Johnson, Wasa Iyatishe. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, it's so good to have you both here. And we are going to talk about the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program. Also, the General Assistance yes. program is also available at Tlingit and Haida. So before we begin, would you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do for these programs? Dara, we'll start with you.
Yeah. My name's Dara Rilatis. I grew up in Wrangell, but I'm so happy to be here now, and I am the Special Projects Coordinator for the TANF and GA programs at Tlingit and Haida, which means I get to plan events like the backpack program and different various things.
And we'll get into that here in just a second. We'll figure out what all that is. And Shay?
Thank you. My name is Shay Johnson, and I'm from Sitka. But I manage the GA and TANF programs, and I just love that we can offer all these programs to all of Southeast Alaska. We're very excited to have Dara here to be able to offer all the extra programs, the extra cultural activities. But TANF is a way that people can, they can work towards a goal, not just live today.
Absolutely. So you're the boss.
Yeah.
Let's get right down to it.
She's the boss.
Yeah. And Dara, I know a lot of Juno Afternoon listeners or people around town who might be listening also know you as a musician.
Yeah.
So is this a new job for you at Tlingit and Haida?
It's a job that I've been doing for about a year and a half now, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, but it works really well with the music and everything else.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Are you going to be playing at Folk Fest and all that?
I sure am. And my band, the Planktonics, just going to throw them in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We'll have to have you back for that later.
Yeah, please.
Okay, let's get back to the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program, which you call TANF.
Correct.
As a short TANF, right?
Correct.
And of course, everything we're talking about, you can find at tlingitandhaida.gov. Mm-hmm. There's so many programs that Tlingit and Haida has on the left side of the website. You can click through, and I think this is one under, is it under community programs or
family
assistance, right? Family
yeah.
services.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can find some information there. So I guess we'll start with this. What is the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program?
And I can answer that.
Yeah.
I could talk for days about TANF.
Of course.
So TANF assists low-income families who are Alaska Native or Native American to gain training or education. The goal isn't to serve. I mean, we want to help you survive today, but the goal ultimately is to help you find a dream job or to get an education so that you can be self-sufficient for your whole life to create a career. And we have caseworkers who will help people identify barriers and move forward in whatever those barriers are to create self-sufficiency, not just for today, but for an entire life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And these are the particular program, the TANF program, is for those families with dependent children.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And then are you also the managers of the General Assistance Program? And that is, you don't have to have children for that. That's anybody who wants to qualify for that.
Correct. TANF is usually, well, TANF is always for children, whether it's a child-only case because a child lives with a relative, not their biologic parent, a grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle. But families with children under the age of 18, general assistance is for people who don't have children under the age of 18 or for whatever reason don't qualify for TANF.
Okay. Now, who is, I guess, eligible for these programs? Who is it just Tlingit and Haida tribal members?
Native Americans are also, as long as they're federally enrolled in a tribe.
Or okay.
enrolled in the
Any
federal
tribe.
Labor. Yeah.
Okay. And is there a location radius?
We cover, for TANF, we cover all of Southeast Alaska except Metlakatla.
Okay. Okay. Everywhere but Metlakatla. Okay.
Yeah.
And how do people get information on the program? And we'll dive into a few little other things about it, but I want to know how people get access. Where do they go?
They can go to our website. They can call any of the numbers listed on the website. I actually did not write my number down. But we have operators at Tlingit and Haida who can transfer you if you call. There's information on the website. We have flyers that we hand out. We try to go to all the local events. There was just a housing event. Mm-hmm. We're going to be at Gold Medal. Mm-hmm. We're going to be at, we really try to get the word out there.
Okay. And I guess, is there a limit to the qualifications? I mean, what kind of assistance are we talking about, I guess, is what I'm getting at, in terms of, is it financial assistance? Mm-hmm. Is it clothes? Is it housing? Where do I have to be to be eligible in terms of my income level or things like that?
Well, for one parent, one family, the income level is a little less. Oh, my goodness. Now that I'm on the radio and I'm nervous, I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Forget about the radio. We're just talking. We're just having a – you're just telling Boston about what's going on with this program.
There are income limits.
Okay.
And the income limits can be explained – the income limits go up, of course, however many children or people are in the household. And once you are approved for TANF, TANF can help with a lot of things. We do give a small monthly stipend, but – more importantly, we can help pay for training. Mm. We can, if there's a shutoff notice that your children won't have electricity, we can help with that sometimes. Mm-hmm. We can help with approved housing. We can help with first and last month of rent if you've been approved for housing and you need that. But most importantly, we want to really focus on training and referring for resources to be able to help you eliminate your barriers.
Yeah, eliminate the barriers and find new ways to engage. That's kind of great. And, of course, you can find out all this at ClinkettandHyda.gov under the Family Services tab on the left-hand side there. And there's information there. There are a lot of numbers on there. There's a lot of phone numbers. But I'm sure you can also just call the main line at Clinkett and Hyda.
The TANF phone number is 463-7158.
Thank you, Dara.
Yeah. Dara, so let's talk about the backpack program. You mentioned that. What is that?
Yeah, it's really wonderful. It's this incredible program that I think has been going on nearly 20 years now. And I've been so fortunate to get to work on it the last couple. And we are able to provide backpacks, quality backpacks, to Native children. Again, anything, just like we said about the qualifications for TANF, except all Native children in Southeast Alaska. So it's so cool. We get to provide quality backpacks and school supplies throughout Southeast. And then we do other programs as well. We have different classes. We do exercise, harvesting. We've learned weaving. We've learned all kinds of different things like that. And we also are going, I'm very excited about this. We're going to be doing a clothing giveaway next Wednesday.
The 19th?
March 19th from 10 to 2 at the Elizabeth Paradovich Hall.
Okay.
So all Clinkett and Hyda tribal citizens who are looking for professional clothing, we have donated clothing that will be available to come and pick up on March 19th.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
So,
Very exciting.
That's, you said it's from 10 to 2?
Correct. 10 to 2, next Wednesday, March 19th, at the Elizabeth Paradovich Hall.
Awesome, okay. Yeah. You don't have to be enrolled in the TANF program for that, do you?
We're letting tribal citizens come and.
Okay, so any tribal citizen of Clinkett and Hyda who's looking for, I guess, a clothing, professional clothing or.
Job interviews or something. We had a lot of wonderful donations from our tribal community, so it's been really exciting.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's so good. What is the sort of like, I guess the future, right? I mean, how many folks are you serving right now? And what do you look for in terms of the future, in terms of hope? Like, I know you're trying to get people sort of the bridge to get back to, fully employed or whatever it might be. But what's the hope?
Well, the hope is that we're able to provide training and education, and that could look like anything. It could look like culinary school or a culinary education. It could look like an office assistant training. It could look like how to run a daycare. for anybody. And, you know, people grow up all the time. So this could be people returning as older parents with teenagers who, for whatever reason, are looking for work again. This could be young kids who maybe had to drop out of school for whatever reason, and now they're – so they're very young, and they don't have a lot of job skills. Mm-hmm. So the future is that we can just continue to expand our programs. Tlingit in Haida is a very exciting place to work. There is always new things happening at Tlingit in Haida. And
I would just add, too, that we want – our goal, especially with special projects and things, is to help empower the individuals that we work with and just look for opportunities where we see the need and just try our best to fill it as best we can.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. This is the temporary assistance for needy families and the general assistance supporting the Native community. Those who are eligible are Alaska Native or American Indian families with dependent children. For the TANF program or the General Assistance Program provides financial assistance to those eligible for essential needs, food, clothing, shelter, etc. And you can find out more information about this at tlingitinhaida.gov or call 907-463-7158. And one more pitch for the awesome clothing swap next week. It's on Wednesday from 10 to 2 over at the Elizabeth Perachevich Hall. And that's open to all tribal citizens. You don't have to be a member of one of these programs. Awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, Gunath Cheesh, for being here today and telling us about this program. I really appreciate you both coming in, Dara and Shay from the Tlingit in Haida Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program.
Thank you for having us.
Or TANF, right? Yeah, Gunath Cheesh, really appreciate it. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Hanson Gress. Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin talk anakaya ha ani kak. Gunish cheesh.
Listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Family Promise works to support families and children at risk of experiencing homelessness in Juno. And they are holding a fundraiser, the Juno Taste of Promise, on Saturday, March 22nd at the Juno Yacht Club. And I'm joined now by Bailey Gent. Gunath Cheesh, Ha'igudi. Thank you so much, Bailey. It's a pleasure to see you. Wasa'iti. How's it going?
It's good. It's good. Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the event, but I want to talk about Family Promise for those who may not know what that is. I gave a short little description, but will you expand on the description of what Family Promise is and does?
Yeah, absolutely. So we serve families in Juno that are at risk of becoming homeless or actively experiencing homelessness. So we provide services that are helping folks with eviction prevention or helping folks stay in their homes when we're able to. If we're not, we're providing emergency shelter, and we're also doing rapid rehousing to get folks back into safe permanent housing if they do end up in a situation where they've lost it.
Okay. And who is eligible for this program?
Yeah. So families with children are our target audience and demographic of who we serve. And other than that, we have no constraints around families. And we serve any family unit that is adults with children.
There's no income limit or anything like that?
No
income limit. Okay.
Yeah.
So just those who are in need.
Those who are in need. We have certain grant programs or dollars that might be available for rental assistance or other services, and those might have income restriction, but
nothing just to come and get an intake and work with a case manager and figure out what you might be eligible for.
And how do you get into Family Promise? Do you have to have a referral, or can you just call direct, or how does that work?
Yeah, we can take referrals. We take them from other agencies in town, but we also can have a self-referral. So if someone is in need and needs support, they can reach out to us directly.
Okay, and how do we do that?
Yeah, best way to do it is either to call our main line, which is 907-500-3032, and you will then be able to be directed to a case manager, or visit our website, which is familypromisejuno.org, and you can learn more information there about some of our services and what we provide and how to get connected to us.
Great, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, all of this that you do isn't free. So I guess that's one of the reasons that we're having a fundraiser, right?
That's right. That's right.
So, and this fundraiser sounds really intriguing because I like food.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about the family, the Juno Taste of Promise event.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is our first of this type of event. And essentially Taste of Promise is going to bring together restaurants from around the Juno community. And each restaurant will provide a little food tasting, and then we'll also have beer and wine available, and a dessert auction and a live auction with some really cool auction items as well. So you'll come in, have fun little bites of food from different restaurants around the city, and enjoy some beverages if that's what you want to do, and then be able to participate in our live auction and learn a little bit more about our program, hear from a past program participant, and just kind of be able to get more of a sense of what we do and see it firsthand.
And can you tease us with some of the restaurants that are going to be participating
in
this?
Absolutely. We have a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
So Boca is providing a tasting item. The Hangar is providing tasting item. We have V's Cellar. We have the Crepe Escape. We have a whole bunch of different folks that are joining us, and so we're really, really grateful for so many folks in our community pitching in. Marisol is pitching in and providing a tasting item. I don't want to tease exactly what all of them are because we're excited to try to get people there to be impressed and amazed by all the wonderful tastes we have, but each restaurant is providing a really lovely, unique kind of item that's specific to their menu or their offerings.
You had me at Boca.
Right? I know.
I mean, all those places you mentioned, but you started with Boca, and I was like, well, okay, I'm there.
I know.
So there'll be unique items that they're making for this event as part of the tasting. Okay. And then you also said that you're going to have a dessert auction.
We are, yeah. So we have some really talented home chefs from around Juno that are preparing some really delicious desserts that'll be auctioned off. And we also have some restaurants that are providing desserts. So we'll have a big range of all sorts of different things. And folks can make a bid on those throughout the first part of the event. And then we'll have those brought to tables. And you can enjoy dessert, share with your table mates if you so choose, and enjoy that as the rest of the night kind of continues.
Okay, so I guess the question then is, how do I get my ticket for this fundraiser?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is easy to go to either our Facebook page has a lot of information, and that's Family Promise Juno. You can also visit our event website, which is bit.ly.com/tasteofpromise. And you can get information there as well. Or you can call or text us at that 907-500-3032, and we'll send you a direct link as well.
And there was another phone number that I had here.
I think that number will also send you a direct link.
So if you text TASTE to 406-302-5086, you will also learn more about it. You text the word TASTE to 406-302-5086. I'm sure that's also going to be providing links to these other things. But it sounds like Juno, the Family Promise, has a really nice Facebook page. You can probably find it right there, probably an event. There's probably an event already created.
There sure is. Yeah. So if you're coming, go and mark yourself on there so other folks can see you're joining us.
Yeah. And it says here that all the proceeds are going directly to support the Static Site Emergency Shelter.
Yeah. So our emergency shelter is currently rotational. So we use underutilized spaces in and around the Juneau community. But using those spaces is transient still for families that are receiving services. So we are hoping to acquire and have a static site emergency shelter location for families to be in shelter with us and to be able to have a little bit more trauma-informed care with fewer transitions for kiddos and families that are already in crisis. So this is kind of going to, these funds are going towards helping us be able to do that.
Well, Bailey, thank you so much for coming and telling us about this. It's the Juneau Taste of Promise from Juneau's Family Promise organization. Mm-hmm. It is on Saturday, March 22nd at the Juneau Yacht Club. Is it in the evening?
It is. 6 p.m. Is our start time, and come in, get settled in, and we'll have a really nice program. We'll again share about a story from a family that's received services with us. We'll hear from other folks who are part of the organization and just learn more about mission. So it's a great opportunity to learn about us and get more involved, and also to have a really fun night with great food and lots of cool auction items. If you have folks coming in town to visit, come bid on these items and save them for your visitor.
That's awesome. Yeah. Okay. So thank you so much. You can find out more at familypromisejuneau.org. You can call 907-500-3032. You can head over to Facebook and find Family Promise Juneau. It's everywhere.
Everywhere.
I love it. Thank you so much, Bailey. Gwyneth Cheese, for being here today.
Thank you.
This is Juneau Afternoon from KTOO. Up next, we are going to learn about the Blood Moon Lunar Eclipse happening this evening. You are listening to Community Supported Juneau Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneau Auk Bay, online at kto.org, also on YouTube and Facebook. I think we've covered it. I think we're everywhere, Dave. I'm Boston Christopher, and I am joined now by Dave Hansen from the Marie Drake Planetarium, and we are going to talk about the Blood Moon.
Blood Worm Moon.
Yeah, with Blood Worm Moon. Yeah. Even. Okay, which is happening tonight. So let's talk about what's the difference between a lunar eclipse and a solar eclipse?
Okay, that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
So during a lunar eclipse, the moon passes through the Earth's shadow. So the Earth, moon, and sun. Earth, sun, and moon are lined up.
Yeah.
And the Earth's shadow is cast on the moon.
Okay.
A solar eclipse, that's when the Earth, moon, and sun are lined up and the moon's shadow is cast on the Earth.
Okay. So it's like the opposites, really, right?
Right.
And why do people call it a blood moon?
It's because when there's a total lunar eclipse, the moon turns red. So instead of turning black, some of the light from the Earth's atmosphere, the Earth is kind of, from the moon's point of view, the Earth is backlit by the sun. And so some of that light comes through the Earth's atmosphere. And because of the way dust and our air refracts light, it preferentially, you know, passes on red light instead of blue light. So that it's sort of like, from the Earth's point of view, there's every sunrise and sunset on Earth is happening at the same time.
Oh, that's going to be so cool. And a lot of times we here in the land of the North don't get access to these wonderful things. I mean, the last one was the big solar one, and the people were down and went down to wherever it was, Utah, and to be at the, you know, the point of whatever they called that. I can't remember what it's called.
The point of totality.
Yeah, totality. Yeah. Thank you. And but we are going to be able to see this.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about a lunar eclipse. With the solar eclipse, you have to be in a very specific spot because the moon's shadow is very small.
Mm.
But the Earth's shadow on the moon is very big. So if you're anywhere where you can see the moon at the time of the eclipse, you can see the eclipse.
And how often does a lunar eclipse come around?
They come around, you know, there's partial and total. So there's generally more than one a year. And in fact, 1 year from now, there's going to be another total lunar eclipse. I think it's on maybe March 1st next year. Don't quote me on the exact date. And that one will be even better because the moon will be higher in the sky. So they, oh, okay. they do happen with some frequency.
Okay, that's kind of cool. And they are happening tonight. What time are we looking at tonight?
Well, the actual very beginning of the eclipse is going to kind of start while the moon is probably below the mountains. You know, if we were on a prairie, we'd see the whole thing. But we've got those pesky mountains in the way. So it'll be kind of – we'll start to be able to see it down toward the southeast. So if you're downtown, it's down the channel, kind of that direction. And I think it'll probably be high enough to see starting about 9:30. So between 9:30 and 10, the moon will be high enough, and we'll start to see a bite being taken out of the moon by the shadow. That'll increase until 10:30. That's when it goes into totality. You know,
okay, around 10:30 tonight?
Yeah, and at that point, I think it'll be high enough for most folks to see, unless you're just right up against a mountain to your southeast.
And now you mentioned that sometimes these are partial and sometimes they're total. Is this a total?
This is a total. The moon isn't perfectly centered in our shadow, so when it's in totality, one edge will be a little bit lighter than the other edge, but it'll be
pretty close.
It'll be pretty close. It'll be really red. It'll look like Mars up there.
That's going to be so cool. And unlike the solar eclipse, you don't have to wear any like protective gear, right?
That's right. No filters, just your Mark One eyeballs.
Okay.
And lost my train of thought there.
That's all right.
So it'll be up. And it lasts a long time. So the solar eclipse goes by very quickly. You know, that's a matter of minutes. But a lunar eclipse lasts for a couple of hours.
Is that because, again, the Earth is so big?
Well, it has to do with the speed that the Earth and Moon move relative to each other. So, you know, you don't have to be there right at 9:30, 10 o'clock or whatever. It'll keep going. It'll be a maximum eclipse at 11 o'clock, and it'll be higher in the sky. So if you can't see the moon earlier in the evening, you know, 11 o'clock, pretty much for sure, you'll be able to see the full eclipse.
I see. Okay, that's really cool. And the Marie Drake Planetarium, you work there?
I'm a volunteer.
Yeah. And I know there's a lot of volunteers there. Yeah. And what do you do at the Marie Drake Planetarium?
Well, I'm on the board of directors, so help, you know, sort of do the planning and guide the direction. But I'm also a volunteer, so I do presentations. We've got a bunch of volunteers. We work together to develop programs, and we work with the schools. We bring school classrooms in, and they get to experience the planetarium. So kind of working with our other volunteers on school programs. We were at the Curiosity Unleashed STEM program out at Thunder Mountain on Monday.
Oh, yeah, that was this week.
That was a good time. We had a little blow-up planetarium out there, and the kids had a great time.
Oh, nice. That's so great. Yeah, we often hear on this program, we hear a feature called Star Party, which is done by Steve Kosis, one of your compatriots there at the Marie Drake Planetarium. But for people who haven't heard about the Marie Drake Planetarium, can you give us just like an overview of what the Marie Drake Planetarium is?
Okay, so it's a planetarium is a place where you can show the sky as it would look at any date, time, place of your choosing. So we can project the sky, do a computer projection of the sky onto the dome, interior of a dome. So we've got a 30-foot dome that was built in the 60s in the Marie Drake building, and we've got a computer system that projects things on there, and we do sort of general astronomy education. We do programs 3 or 4 nights a month. We're always there on first Friday for just kind of open house, open question and answer session.
Yeah.
So yeah, free astronomy education to the public and to the schools is kind of our main mission.
That's awesome. And where did your love, Dave, come from for the stars?
Oh boy. Yeah, I've always been interested in physics and science since I was a kid. You know, I had the chemistry set and the microscope. I didn't have a telescope when I was a kid, kind of surprisingly. Hmm. So I'm a little later to that, but I've always been interested in physics and astrophysics and read a lot about it. About 15, 20 years ago, I got into astrophotography. So I image galaxies and nebulas and,
what?
And all of that. Yeah, all that space stuff. So that really got me deeply into it. I moved to Juneau about 8 years ago. And, you know, first started reading about Juno, and one of the things I found was a planetarium, and I was just amazed that a town the size of Juno has a planetarium. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I got here, I got involved with that.
Wow. So you got me with the astrophotography. So tell me a little bit more. How do you do that?
Well, in Juneau, with great difficulty.
Because it's so cloudy all the time, right?
That's right. I kind of have to become an expert on weather forecasting. And speaking of which, I think we've got good conditions tonight.
Oh, good.
You know, there might be a little high thin cloud, but the moon will shine right through that. So we're looking good for the eclipse. I've got, you know, a telescope. I've got special mount. Computer software that very carefully tracks the sky very accurately, and I take lots of exposures and do computer stuff to combine them and get beautiful pictures.
So the zoom on the camera, you said you're taking pictures of, like, galaxies?
Yeah.
How do you do that? I don't understand. Explain to me, Dave, in the layman's terms, like, how do you do that?
Well, you know, a lot of the things in the sky, galaxies are kind of small compared to other things, but there's big areas of nebulosity that are much bigger than a full moon in our night sky, but they're very dim. So, you know, that's kind of a misconception. People think that a telescope is for magnification, but mostly it's for its light gathering power.
Mm.
So if you can get pointed at the same spot long enough and take enough exposures, then, you know, those really dim, large objects become visible in the image.
Well, that brings up a good question. Are we going to be able to take photos tonight of this this blood moon?
We can. I think if you try using your phone, you might be a little disappointed. You know, the moon in the sky looks very large to our eyes. But when you take a picture, it's generally pretty small. So
they never work out, do they? You always think, oh, I'm going to capture this. And then you look at it later and you're like, it doesn't have the same magic it had in person. Imagine that, though, Dave.
Yeah. But if you got a telephoto lens, yeah, you can probably get a decent picture. You know, an individual picture of the moon or of the eclipse may or may not impress, but if you take a series as it progresses through, then you can really kind of see the eclipse happening.
Okay. So we're talking again about the lunar eclipse tonight. Now, I was saying blood moon, but you had an extra word in there.
Blood worm moon. Yeah, there's sort of traditional names for each of the full moons each month, and this month's moon is the worm moon.
Okay.
I don't know where that comes from, some ancient lore. But because it's going to be red because of the eclipse,
right?
We're calling it the blood worm moon.
Okay. This is the lunar eclipse. It's tonight. Dave says the best viewing is going to be between about 9:30 and 11 when it gets to solar, sort of full bore,
yep,
as we say.
Right.
It's going to last longer than a solar eclipse. And conditions seem like they're pretty good weather-wise.
Yeah. We're lucky tonight.
Oh, that's going to be so great. And, of course, you can always find out more at Marie Drake Planetarium. Yeah.
Right. Our website is mariedrakeplanetarium.org. So that's one word, Marie Drake Planetarium. Or just Google Marie Drake Planetarium, and we'll be the first hit.
And like you said, Juno is very lucky to have something like the Marie Drake Planetarium.
And you'll be able to see all of our upcoming events. You can sign up and stay abreast of what's going on at the planetarium.
I love that. Dave, thanks so much for sharing about the lunar eclipse tonight. Make sure you check it out. Juno, good cheese for being here, Dave.
Thank you, and keep looking up.
I love it. And that's going to do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, it's a new rainy day conversation from Juno Afternoon. Our guest is Dr. Hune Lance Twitchell. We talk with him about language revitalization, poetry from his book, and his Emmy nomination for Molly of Denali. Juno Afternoon comes to you Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49, Hanson Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunath Cheesh, and have a joyous Juno evening. Make sure you get out there and check out that blood moon, the lunar eclipse happening between about 9:30 and 11 o'clock tonight. Gunath Cheesh, everybody.